Greetings, friends. How are you doing this day? Here we are again. One more. Just one more. We got one more, man. One more day. Life in these physical vessels have been allowed breath in our lungs. Can your ears hear? Can your eyes see? Pod vlog episode 27, titled Wealthy Christians? Is that such a thing? Is there such a thing as wealthy Christians? Is that allowed? Is it authorized for Christians to have money, bread? My name is Stefan Mayer, and AddedSouls.com is the website. We're coming to you, streaming live through the Riverview Church of Christ Facebook page. I am a minister for the Riverview Church of Christ in Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada. On the East Coast, Mariners, the sole source of rightly handled religious content, scriptural truth, delivered to you with no apology. It is what it is, and facts don't care about your feelings. We can defend it in court, and this is the faith, the trust that has been delivered to us once forever. Jude 3. We want to talk about wealthy Christians. That's what we wants to be talking about. Let me just go ahead and share the stream here, the live stream from the Riverview Church of Christ Facebook page. We want to share it to another Facebook page we administer and a Facebook group we administer. Let me see here. Share to a page. Yeah, we'll do that till Facebook don't allow us to do that no mo. Let me see here. Added. Yeah, let's do that. Put her there. And let's put her in a group here. There we go. Bing, bang, pow. We got it. How are you all doing this day? You all doing all right, man? It's a crazy world out there. Don't let it get to you. The world's trying to divide us. The world knows if it divides us, it can conquer us. Trying to divide us by our geographical locations. It's trying to divide us by our language, our skin color. It's trying to divide us with anything and everything it can, because again, if you scatter them out there, you can catch the prey. Have you ever watched animal shows? I love watching animal shows. It's fascinating to see the intelligence and the design of the great I am through the animal kingdom, the natural realm, and how things function. To me, it's just remarkable that an individual could see that and say, it's all just an accident. Nothing to see here, folks. All just the happenstance of primordial soup. Nothing intelligent to see here, no purpose involved, yet you can see, and these individuals, they bring you to the most accurate, elaborate precision of the animal's instinct, its existence, its being, how it works, its organism, its biology, its interaction, its transformation, all these things. They see it with their eyes, but they don't see it with their minds. It's just an accident. Everything's evolved. There's no God. How foolish is that, right? How foolish is that? Anywho, these animal shows, you can see how the predator, how he gets the prey. Sometimes he acts alone. Sometimes he acts with his fellow buddies there. And they've got the tactical attack. They've planned it out. They know what's going on, right? It's all driven by the instinct given them, and now they see the herd that they wish to prey on, but they can't attack them all at the same time, so what do? They need to divide them, cause panic. You know, that's what they'll do, these animals. They'll cause the predator will cause panic on the prey, and the prey, well, they turn on each other, and they separate, and they spread out. And now, the predator can clearly see which one is going to be good for the feast. What do you think it's any different? What do you think it's any different from human beings who have been taught from the very birth, their very existence, that they're nothing but animals, species? Hey, listen, if you tell a kid he's an animal long enough, you know what he's going to do? He's going to act like an animal. If you tell an individual from birth that he's nothing but a victim, what do you think he's going to act like? Like a victim. And what's easy for the victim to attach? Well, criminal activity. Because it's not fair. Nothing's fair. It's not fair. I'm a victim. It's always somebody else's fault. I can't get anything unless you give it to me. I want what you have. I can't get it on my own. I'm a victim. I'll take it from you. You give it to me. See the mentality, how that works, how that corrupts and perverts. It deviates us from the beaten path and purpose. The author of the scriptures, the insight, the wisdom therein has planned out for us? No, no, no. If we tell each other we are useless, that there is no such a thing as the objective standard of love and truth, that everything is just an emotional grab, well, yeah. You tell a child from birth that he is nothing but an oppressed, useless individual, a victim, and that he has to take with force and violence from everyone, that he must demand. What does that do? What does that do? It makes him a slave. It makes him a slave to a system of the world and the standard it has to measure with, which is a log sticking out of its eye, its forehead there, you know, a log sticking out of its forehead. Makes you a slave to another man that says, without me, you can't get anywheres in life. Without me, you can't do anything. You can't be anything in life. Without me, you can't get a loan at the bank. Without me, you can't become a doctor or a lawyer or a judge. Without me, you can't even go to any school. Without me, you don't exist. Yes, sir, master. Yeah, yes, sir, master. Is that really the existence that the scriptures teach for us as a people? No, the world wants us divided in these ways. It wants us divided in these ways. And then we act like animals. We've been told we're animals. We act like it. We riot. We burn. Oh, and we try to sprinkle that with some kind of virtuous plea. Well, don't you know we murder and burn down our cities because we love each other and it's for a good cause? We're all victims here. We need another man with a different language from a different geographical location and perhaps even a different skin color to throw us some crumbs from the table. We can't do anything on our own. We need someone else to give it to us. We want more, more. Is that our lives now? Apparently so. And within this sphere of the world's standard and influence, corruption, chaos, destruction, so finds the mighty dollar. Money. The love of it, the root of all sorts of garbage. Hey, follow the dime, my friend. Take a look around. What's taking place right now in the world? You think it's an accident? The same wingbat that can look at a BBC nature show or whatnot, these award-winning nature shows where you see the beauty and the power and intelligence of a created, designed, natural world, and think to himself, it's all just an accident. There's no purpose behind it. We're all just a bunch of animals who've evolved from nothing. The same individual thinks that what's taking place around the world is just some kind of happenstance. What do you think? It's not organized? Why do you think they call it organized criminal activity? organized crime because it's intelligently organized with a negative agenda. You think what's taking place here is just some kind of an accident around the world right now? Hey, wake up. You're sleeping. Wake up, man. You're sleeping. Take a look around. If you have a spiritual eye, you can see that what's taking place is premeditated. It's organized. It's intelligently planned out. No, Jesus. Remove Judeo-Christian values from the Western world. Remove it all. Pervert the narrative of our history. Turn it, twist it, change it. Chaos, destruction, riot, murder, 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 murder. Perversion, 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 murder, murder, perversion. It's all organized. And if you follow the dime, if you follow the dime, it's the love of money somewheres. Politicians love money. Corrupt politicians love money. Corrupt Hollywood loves money. Corrupt individuals love money. They will remove your innocent life from this earth for money. Whether it be $5 or $5 million. You think aborting babies, the abortion industry, the baby mill, don't make money? You think they care about you? Wake up, sleeper. You're sleeping. You think the politicians and the Hollywood elite and the globalist and their politicians, paid and purchased politicians, their corrupt media, you think they mingle in the riots with their masks? Oh, please. What a bunch of foolish individuals. You think they do that because they care about the community or they care about you and I? They're heathens masquerading as Christians who care. They're so virtuous. Follow the dime. It's the love of money. The love of money. And with so much pestilence, corruption, bred with murder and perversion, it's no wonder that some Christians think we can't have money. Because if we have money, that'll happen to us. And let me be frank, witches. The scriptures are clear that the responsibility of wealth in the hands of a Christian is very, very great. Very great. I pray to God, I say, Lord, don't ever allow me a dime I can't handle. Don't ever give me a dollar I can't use properly. We're going to talk about that. Pod Vlog episode 27, Wealthy Christians. Can Christians have wealth? It's a difficult study to look into with an honest mind, considering everything we see around us these days. And look at the false teachers. The TV evangelists, the wackos out there who have been manipulating religion to their greedy agendas. They prey on the naive, the uneducated, the dull of hearing. Can Christians have cash? Can we have money? Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver has rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. There are many Christians, would you be surprised to learn, are Christians, believers in God, faithful believers in God, in the scriptures, that were wealthy, but they utilized their wealth for the greater good of God's cause, the redemptive scheme, the law. Many. Joseph called Barnabas, Dorcas, Cornelius, Sergius Paulus, Lydia, Jason, Aquila and Priscilla, Mnason and Cyprus, Philemon. There are many believers in God who have been made kings, who have had great wealth and luxury. To some it has turned against them. They allowed their love of it pollute their hearts for some great good was able to be done for the kingdom because of their wealth. I pray that faithful Christians able to handle wealth will be blessed by our Lord and Master. I want those who support the work in this land, myself and my family, I pray for them that they will be blessed with a long life, a healthy life, and a prosperous life. Why? Because they're faithful. And if they're healthy and they keep making a lot of money, they're going to use it for the kingdom. That's why. But money in the hands of a worldly-minded Christian? Uh-oh. We got problems. We got problems, man. We got problems. Know what I'm saying? And sadly, that's a lot of the time what takes place. Look at what we've done. Look at the world and its religious ways, its denominational ideologies and churches, its deviations, its demon nations. It utilizes religion. It'll show you a Bible and say, "You need to give me another private jet." And at the very least, if they teach us the doctrine of the Christ, perhaps we could look into it a bit deeper. But they don't even teach the doctrine of Christ. They teach you all kinds of garbage. Can't find that garbage in the scriptures. They were doing what Paul had to rebuke in Galatians chapter 1. I'm amazed at how quickly you go off to a different gospel, which is not really a different gospel, right? Because there's just one gospel that saves, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet you've created this perversion, and within this perversion, to tickle the ears, and you're going to make a lot of money that way. Nothing wrong with wealth. It's wrong when you love it. What about the individual, remember, who went to Jesus? Had a lot of stuff, didn't he? Had a lot of wealth. Had a lot of stuff. Jesus didn't have a problem with what he had. Jesus had a problem with the love he had for it. The love he had for his wealth, his belongings, his land, his stuff, trumped his allegiance and sacrifice to follow Jesus Christ. Look at us, man. Look at the Western world. Man, we have storage for storage for storage for storage for storage. We pay rent every month on storage for storage for storage on stuff, stuff, stuff. We love money. We love stuff. That's what the scriptures rebuke. Because of your love of stuff and money, you ain't productive as a citizen in his kingdom. Oh, boy. That's what's up. That is what's up. Looking at the comment bar there, the comment thread, saying hi to Petrus. Good to see you. Marilyn, good morning. You're late.
I know.
I'm a bit late this morning. We've got ourselves a devotional this evening. Our Christian friends are coming over. We're going to sing and pray and read from the scriptures. And I had to prepare a few things there in the early a.m. to get that done. So that's my excuse. I'm sticking to it. And I'm a bit late. But here I am, nonetheless. It's good to see you guys. It's good to see you guys, or it's good to see y'all, depending on where you're from in the world. For some of you, it's you guys, and for others, it's y'all. Good to see y'all. So yeah, we're talking about Christians and money, and the love of money. I've seen congregations and leaders become squirrels with their money. Ever see a squirrel stack the nuts in his mouth? Ever see that? I've seen, well, I mean, obviously the squirrel does it for reasons of survival. But the point is, I've seen congregations, treasury, $500,000, $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $4 million. They don't do nothing, though. You know, they never support any kind of mission work. They never support an evangelist or a gospel preacher behind a pulpit. They never do anything evangelistic or benevolent. They do nothing. They just stack the money. They love the money in the bank. They love to open up the bank account and say, well, we're a congregation of about 40 to 60 people here, and we've got about $1.2 million in the bank. But you got no preacher, you're not growing, you're dying. Doing nothing with it. Buried opportunities. Buried opportunities! Why? Well, because they love the money there. They love it. They love the money. Some other congregations are always quick to see that God will provide. And they find the peace and joy of Christianity by giving, supporting, benevolence. And they are always blessed with it. Something I've learned, and this is not an inherent law, it's not a guarantee, but something I've learned in its general rule as a faithful Christian. I can't ever give my money quick enough that God blesses me with more. And the more he allows me to be blessed with financial security, the more I push it back into the gospel. Why else? What else? What am I going to do? All of this is going to go away. Really, though. Think about it. All of this is going to go away. Now, there's a balance there. There must be a good stewardship. There must be a balance, a seasoned wisdom to finances. There are many things that are not at the very essence necessary, yet though are a blessing. But there are things that go high end excess and have become a different beast in of itself. When it comes to finances, ain't nothing wrong with a Christian having money. The scriptures are filled with individuals who have money. Some of them love the money too much and they fall from grace. They separate themselves from God. Some know that money's just a tool. It's just something you use, like this microphone. It's a tool. I use it in an expedient way, so that the audio of the substance I am proclaiming and sharing with you can go out to the sound waves all around the world. It's just a tool. See that? This is a picture. This is a $20 bill in Canada. It ain't worth much these days under our current governing authority. And you can know why. There's a big difference between Trudeau money and Trump money. You like my funny stuff? But this is a very colorful little $20 bill in Canada. See there? That's the queen, because we live under European rule and the monarchy and all that garbage. Yeah, there's the queen. And it's colorful, isn't it? Yeah, You know what that is? It's a piece of plastic. It used to be paper. Our money used to be paper, but now it's kind of like this plastic thing. It has all these security things in it. You know what this does? What do you think it'll do if I try to eat it? You think I can eat this and be satisfied and have my belly nourished? You think this will nourish my belly if I eat it? Let me tell you something. From my past life, I did the whole money game. I found out you can't eat money now as a Christian. Can't eat it. But yet some people think you can eat this and have nourishment. So you know what this is? This is just a tool. Look at it. In the hand of a corrupt individual, it's the most powerful thing you can't hold. In the hand of a faithful Christian, it's just a tool. This week, it might buy me some milk, some bread, some butter. This week, it might next week it'll allow me to put clothes on my back, my children's, give us food, shelter, pay the rent. Enough of it allows us to even give to the poor, give to missionaries, grow the church. Because the gospel is freely given. But who's going to buy the Bibles? Huh? Who's going to buy the Bibles? This tool here that I'm holding in my hand, it'll buy Bibles. See? The message that's in this book, the Holy Bible, is free. Right? Yes. But you see, the book it came in costs some of this. See that? Yeah. So it takes some of this to freely give out some of these. See, there's a camera here. There's lighting. There's a computer here. There's a microphone. There's a chair. There's a desk. There's a library behind you I'm building. Chairs and... Take some of that. Some of this in the hands of a faithful individual, faithful Christian, many good things can happen, right? Many good things can take place. Put it in the hands of a corrupt individual, we got division. We got division over geographical locations, language, skin color. We got all kinds of division. Because if we divide, we conquer. And if we conquer, we get all the money. Get all the money. You should look up a cartoon in the 80s or early 90s called the Raccoons or something, I think. Yeah, the Raccoons. I think it was a Canadian cartoon. There's an individual in there called Cyril Sneer. Cyril Sneer. He's got a golden tooth and he's always got a cigar. He's the image of the greedy individual. He's got the cigar going. He's always thinking of a plot, a deceptive agenda to cause more destruction. That's what the scriptures rebuke. That's what the scriptures rebuke. Are you not entertained? Oh, I tell you. We Christians need to smarten up. We need to repent, humble ourselves, return to the instruction of the scriptures when it comes to money. And we need to talk about money a lot more in the church. Oh, it's very private. We don't want to talk about it. You know, it's controversial. It might make us feel uneasy. Yeah, so will a whole bunch of other stuff. In this political correctness, you know, in this hypersensitive, I don't want to be offended kind of a culture. We can't talk about anything anymore in the church. We just might offend someone. I don't see that in the Bible. That's not the kind of courage and strength that is well-seasoned, fellowshipped, and mingled with compassion, love, understanding, wisdom, mercy, forgiveness. There's a balance involved. We need to talk about money. You know how many Christians, because they don't talk about money, have made a mess with their money? Credit cards. Debt. We need to talk about money a lot more. And those who go behind the pulpit should be individuals who are wise with their money. Leadership must be wise with their money as an example and a pattern to the flock. If the elder or the preacher got hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt and credit cards, has a yard full of, you know, four-wheelers and trucks and all kinds of... It's a mess. It's not an example to see behind the pulpit or to see as a leadership. Money's important. It's a tool that we can use for God. But those who love their wealth more than they love the church, more than they love Jesus, man, they've got a judgment day coming. They've got a judgment day. It doesn't say, in humility, receive the money implanted, which is able to save your soul. See, they think that. Doesn't say that in the scriptures, does it? Doesn't say, in humility, receive the riches of the money that the world produces, which is able to save your soul. You can't save your soul if you're corrupted. Don't matter how much money you put in the offering. It don't matter. No, it says, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. The word, the written word, the 66 books of the Holy Bible. The submission we have to the new covenant, the Christ, the age of the messianic power. God-breathed literature, freely given. That's where our love should be. You know, when Paul was speaking of Christians who were poor, but were so happy, joyful, and blessed to give, were giving. Do you know what the origin of their joy was? They had first given themselves to Jesus Christ. They gave their lives to Jesus Christ because Christ gave his life for our forgiveness, our citizenship in his kingdom. And because they first gave their lives to Jesus Christ, it was very joyful to give whatever little pennies they had to the cause of the kingdom. It don't matter if you are a Christian who is very poor financially, or a Christian that is very wealthy financially. It doesn't matter. Have you given your life first and foremost to Jesus Christ? If you have, whatever finances you have, you will be a good steward of, and you will give for the further cause of the gospel. And we shall take care of ourselves as Christ demanded, right? First, with the household of faith. There's no reason in the Western world, in the Lord's church, that we should find Christians who are struggling. In Acts chapter 2, verse 45, individuals had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were pierced. They believed. And so they asked what it was they needed to do in order to find forgiveness of their sins. That was told to them in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. As a result of that, they were all united and had this common bond, this faith, this forgiveness, this salvation. And they wanted to take care of each other. They saw the power of the gospel working in their lives. And so they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. Here's the important part of the verse that most don't want to read. As every man had need. Acts chapter 2, verse 45. As every man had need. I don't need to sell off all my possessions and give to you if you already have. But if you don't have, I'll give half of what is mine. I'll give you a place at the table. If my family is eating and you're not, and you're a member of the local congregation, you are my brother or sister, and you're not eating, shame on us if we don't take care of that immediately. I'll sell whatever I need to sell in order for you to eat food. But that's not a verse that says Christians can't have wealth or riches. That's a gross misinterpretation of the text with those who peddle that kind of garbage. And it's interesting because those who peddle that kind of garbage, Christians should be poor because the Bible says so. They're the ones making the money. Nah, the scriptures don't teach that. We don't have to look like bums to give out the appearance of humbleness and genuine faith. That's not how it works. Yet there are some Christians who think that way. No, this verse here speaks that the Christians, God has commanded us to take care of each other. Seek ye first the kingdom, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. You do that in your life. From morning to night, you seek out what is most important. Seek ye first, priority, the kingdom of heaven, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. All these things will be added to you. You'll eat, you'll have clothing, you'll have shelter. Why? Because together, we'll take care. It's the same as the instruction that was told in the scriptures regarding taking care of family members, mom and dad. If we can't take care of our family members, food, clothing, shelter, our widows, and things of that nature, security, defense, then we're nothing but heathens. Christians with wealth is a blessing if it's in faithful hands. Will take care of what God has commanded us to take care of. And the gospel will grow in the community, and benevolence will be felt and seen, recognized, administered. Evangelism will strive. Conversions will grow. Ain't nothing wrong with wealthy Christians. But we got to get our minds out of the gutter. How did I start this podcast? You teach a child that he's a victim from day one and that he needs another man to make it in life. He's going to fail. You tell a child from birth that he's nothing but an animal, he's going to act like an animal. That is not what the scriptures teach us. Just not what the scriptures teach us. We don't work, we don't eat. If we work hard and God blesses us with a lot of wealth, let's use it for the further growth of the kingdom and to make sure we all eat. Those who are fed tend to work harder than those who are starving. There's enough poor people in our communities we can help out. You know. Christians can be wealthy. We can have money. We just have to use it wisely. We have to use it wisely. For the kingdom. For the greater good therein. The Lord has blessed the Maye family. It was a rough road this past decade. Started off with nothing, hard labor, doing what you got to do to pay the bills, man, move forward. A great transition was taking place from a very different life in the past. Very, very different. For any of you who have known me for the decade know exactly what I'm talking about. But now the Lord, after hard work, he continues to bless us. He allows us to have support financially by brethren like you who love the gospel, have compassion for individuals who have never heard the gospel and need to hear it. Here it is, East Coast Canada. You all support in love and trust of the gospel, the Maye family. We are blessed. We have a nice little home we rent. I have this nice little studio where I produce this kind of content. Friends, it's because of your love and support. I take it very seriously, the tool of money. I take it very seriously, and I pray God keep me level-headed with the stewardship that he's called me to obey. If only we'd see that in our brothers and sisters of the same agenda, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. Okay, my friends, that should be about it for this session. I hope and pray you will have a productive day, an encouraging one, even among the madness. Don't allow the world to destroy your spirit, man. I'm telling you, let it go. Let it go, man. Go back to the gospel. As the sign behind me says, stay focused and stay positive. Stefan Maia is my name. AddedSouls.com is the website. You can find me anywheres and everywheres. Podcast, Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Wherever. You'll find me. I'm there. The content is there. If you are a Christian, a member of the Lord's church, and you are willing and able to further the cause of this gospel mission here on the East Coast of Canada, by all means, reach out and let's talk. I love all of yous. Pray for your well-being, and we shall meet again here next time, Lord willing. God bless.